Hello and welcome to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections podcast called Lockup Lowdown. The goal of this podcast is to provide listeners with information pertaining to all aspects of corrections, one issue or one topic at a time. I'm your host, DOC Communications Director Susan McNaughton. Today we are joined by Terry Fazio, who is the director of the DOC's Bureau of Correction Education. Thank you for joining us, Terry.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I just wanted to make note that we talked to you just about 2 years ago, and that topic was solely just on the fact that you were working to upgrade the computer system that would allow you to push updates to the SCIs from central office. So we'll get into that, but I just wanted to have our listeners know that this is your second time with us, and thank you for coming back.
You're welcome.
So let's get into the nitty-gritty of what's been going on in the area of correction education. I think when people think about state prisons, most only think about the punishment aspect of corrections, but our system offers a number of programs and services to inmates to help them change and improve themselves, and education, vocational programs are some of those services. Tell us what you have learned through the testing of inmates. At what education grade level are a majority of these inmates when they enter our system?
So when an inmate enters our system, every inmate is provided the TABE test, the test of adult basic education. We initially test them for their reading level, and after their placement at their home institution, they'll then be tested for their math level or their writing level, depending upon what educational needs they have.
Okay.
This really helps us when we're counseling the inmate students, and with regards to their academic, vocational placements, or their desires from what they would like to achieve while incarcerated with us and their goals for upon release. Initially here with the DOC, we find that most of the inmates coming in are testing between the 8th and 9th grade level.
Okay.
And that is for a variety of different reasons. You have to remember, too, the initial testing is right upon their incarceration. Sometimes they're not really, you know, focusing on the testing as much as they probably should be. So that is why we do have testing available at all of the other institutions, and we get updated levels of testing once a year for all of the inmates that are enrolled in our classes.
That's great. So 8th to 9th grade level, I think in the past it was 5th grade. Is that possible?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Yes.
Okay.
So we are seeing an improvement in that for what is happening in the public realm of education as well.
Okay, great. Several years ago, the DOC began mandating, and by several years, this might be even like a decade or so ago, we began mandating the fact that inmates who were able to do so were directed to get their GED. Is this still a mandate? What's the policy around this?
Yes. The DOC education policy, the DOC 7.6.1, states that inmates that do not have a verified high school diploma or GED must attend classes. And by verified, I mean we work with an education record center through Pennsylvania Department of Education, and we get existing high school transcripts and records. For a mandate, those students that are mandated to attend school, they have to attend for a minimum of 360 hours.
Okay.
They have to complete Pathway to Success and Money Smart classes successfully, and complete a full TABE test. Once they reach that goal, they can request to opt out of school, but that is not our goal. Our goal is to see them succeed in school, attain that credential, and improve their reading or math skills in order to become a more successful reentrant.
So it seems to me that if you're a new inmate coming into the system, you're going through a lot of testing, and you know you might have to move forward with just doing your GED and the Money Smart and all the other things that you mentioned. So that's a lot of time. Are they able to get prison jobs too, or do they have to do the education and then they can get a prison job, or do they do it both at the same time?
They can do it both at the same time.
Okay.
If they're a mandatory student, they only really have to come to one class a day unless they are mandated school-age students.
Okay.
Mandated school-age students come to school 5.5 hours a day.
Okay, so talk a little bit more about that. So instead of a GED, they're getting a Commonwealth Secondary Diploma?
Correct.
This group?
They can earn a GED, but they also can earn a Commonwealth Secondary Diploma by Pennsylvania Department of Ed standards, and they get a diploma that is equivalent to a high school diploma.
Wow. Okay.
But that is also now available to our adult inmates as well.
Oh.
By working with the Pennsylvania Department of Education, we get transcripts from the last schools that they attended while they were on the streets, and through taking classes with us and earning credits with us, they earn the number of credits needed to attain a high school diploma.
So what's the thinking behind this GED and diploma thing? That the more educated somebody is, the less likely they are to commit a crime once they're released?
That is part of it, but it also makes them a better reentrant and a better employment candidate. Most employers today want to see at least a high school diploma. And if you don't have one, you are not usually one of the top candidates for a position or a job. By at least attaining that part of the credential, you're one step closer.
Nice.
But once you've attained a GED or a Commonwealth Secondary Diploma with us, we also put you through the Money Smart and Pathway to Success class, which starts you on a career path and a career plan.
Excellent.
And that will make you an even more successful reentrant.
Great. We did just talk to Dorinda Hammerland the other day about workforce development and that she's our workforce development specialist. So we can refer people to that podcast if they want to know more about that. Excuse me. So talk to me about the GED test and how it's developed over the years. What can an inmate expect? And like, is it a paper test? How is it done now?
Well, GED has been our diploma equivalency exam with the DOC in Pennsylvania for a long time, well over 20 years. When I first started many, many years ago, the exam was paper and pencil format.
Mm-hmm.
But we have now changed. 2014, the GED was revamped, and it has changed, and it is now a computerized test. And our secretary made the commitment that we would come into the computerized age, and all of our institutions are now certified testing centers and have a lab that is dedicated to GED testing for this purpose. GED test now is a test on your knowledge in the subject areas of science, social studies, math, and reading and writing. The original test was more of a reading and comprehension where you read paragraphs about science or social studies, but they were all multiple choice answers. Now, this version of the exam actually gets into your depth of knowledge. Mm. So it's still some multiple choice questions, but utilizing the computer, there's also drag and drop responses, there's short answer replies, map plotting, you know, points on the map and on a graph and chart for the math section. So it's a little more computer knowledge based.
Are you finding that a lot of our inmates now have computer knowledge when they enter the system, or is that a little bit of a challenge where you have to teach them how to use a mouse and how to drag and drop?
There is still a challenge there with some of our inmates that have been with us for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Inmates that are just coming in now and utilizing the technology that you and I have with computers and phones and everything, they're a little more used to that. But we have made the step with the department, and we upgraded our academic computer labs to a new program that the students use when preparing for the exam. And this program actually teaches them computer skills.
Okay.
Mimics the way the questions may be asked on the exam, actually provides them with a practice exam, and they learn drag and drop. And they also learn typing skills, because one of the pieces to the exam is to actually type an essay, and it's timed. So they need to learn, you know, they can't hunt and peck and be able to get it done in enough time, so they do learn some typing skills as well.
Wow. And this is comparable to what's going on in the general population out in the community?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Actually, with the new labs now, we are consistently testing about 280 to 290 tests per month for GED.
Wow.
And for the year 2019, we actually gave over 3,000 tests. Now, that's GED ready and the official GED exam. And our GED pass rate is at 90%, which the national pass rate is at 79%.
Wow. So it seems like every year our GED pass rate is just increasingly getting better. That's crazy. Good.
Our staff and our instructors are doing a great job with this particular piece of the puzzle.
Congratulations to all your education staff. That 90% pass rate is fantastic. I was just going to ask you what that was, so we can move on from there. Tell me, what is a typical prison school program look like? What does it look like? Do you have principals? What's the table of organization like in a facility?
Our schools inside are structured very similarly to a public school on the outside. We have a school principal at every institution. We have an education guidance counselor at every institution that sees the inmates when they're coming in, helps them with their decisions on, you know, GED, Commonwealth Secondary Diploma, vocational aptitudes. We have academic and vocational instructors. At the institutions where we have the under 21 school-aged based individuals, we have special education teachers. Mm. We have a business education teacher to help with computer skills. And we also run a full library and library staff. Classes run on a daily schedule. So Monday through Friday, there is school, very much like there is on the streets. And we work around inmate work schedules and their group schedules for their cognitive and therapy-based groups, things like that. And the inmate can work towards their GED or high school diploma. Some of them want to get into vocational programs but may need some supplemental skill testing in math or reading. And all of this is available to the inmates.
Wow. Plus, you said that you verify all of their educational experience before they come to the prison. So there's a lot of work that your staff is doing in addition to just teaching. They're also gathering all of this documentation.
Correct. Our education guidance counselors, with the start at the classification centers, they work with the inmate to get, you know, all of the information on where they went to school prior to coming with us. And we work with the Education Records Center, and we get all of those transcripts, and we evaluate the transcripts, look at what credits were earned, where they were still lacking, and then bring the inmates in and sit with them and counsel them to their best decisions.
Wow, that's excellent. Let's talk about vocational programs. What are some of the programs that are offered, and what kind of certifications can inmates earn?
Our vocational programs vary. We have quite a few vocational programs, and every institution has some vocational programs, mm-hmm. but they are not the same program in every institution across. And that varies for a lot of different reasons. It may be space issues at the jail or staffing levels and different things. But they're available to those inmates that have completed previous academic requirements. So they've gotten their high school diploma or GED or something like that, and they're ready to make a decision on their reentry planning and their career path and get into a vocational programming. Some of the examples might be auto mechanics, carpentry, custodial maintenance, fiber optics, flagger training, optical assistant, and restaurant trades and welding. The certifications that they can earn in these programs will vary by the program.
Right.
Okay, so for example, if you're in the restaurant trades program, you're going to earn a ServSafe certificate, but you also may earn a NOCDI certification in Cook Level 1 or baking, depending on the institution that you're at. Also, many of our construction-related fields offer NCCER, which is the National Center for Construction Education and Research. NCCER is nationally recognized. They have a database that employers are always in, and when our inmates go through the program and are tested, they are automatically entered into that database.
Nice.
And in conjunction with NCCER, there's a safety portion, so we also offer OSHA 10. OSHA is a huge credential that many of the employers are telling us they look for and ask, and that makes our person that much better as a reentrant and employment candidate, because they're one step further ahead.
Nice.
Some of our programs also offer state licensure.
Okay.
So I talk about the barber and cosmetology licenses.
Right.
So when they come through the system and they go through our program, they actually can sit and take the test and become a state-licensed barber or cosmetologist. The same goes for our automotive programs. They can sit and take the test for PA inspection and emissions.
Wow. So back to the barber and cosmetologist. So their tools of the trade are scissors and razors. How does that work inside an institutional setting?
Well, the barber shops and schools are set up much like our maintenance shops with secure tools, cribs, The scissors and razors are kept in control. So when the instructor comes in, he collects the lockbox. They are all marked, engraved, and our students all have corresponding chits and numbers. So they're handed out, and security works with our shops. So they're handed back in when someone's leaving. We go through the pat search, and it's extremely secure. Razors themselves, for straight edge razors, are not kept inside the institution. They are only brought in for that testing day and for the days when they're practicing and it's going to be demonstrated, and then they're taken right back out again.
Okay. Safety is always the number one concern.
Number one priority.
Wow. So tell me why educational and vocational programs are so important and what role do they play in reentry?
Well, many of the employers are now reaching out to the DOC, and you had mentioned Dorinda Hammerland and La Costa Mussolini and Reentry and Deputy Kelly Evans, and we work very closely with them and working with these employers to make sure that the programs we're running and the certifications we're offering are what the employers are looking for and need. This way, the inmate has the opportunity to do this, can at least get that one piece prior to being released. Because upon release, in reality, an inmate has a lot of things to think about.
Right.
Not just going to school or getting a certification or something like that. They have to think about housing and clothing and food. And at least earning a piece of it while they are still with us is one less thing that's going to be that stressful upon release. We also have been working very consistently with workforce investment boards and making sure that the programs are what's realistically available for jobs. Okay, and for example, we have many employers reaching out to us now because CDL licensed drivers are low in number right now, and the companies need drivers. So one of the things that we did is we have implemented and we added 3 CDL simulators to existing automotive programs that we have now.
Right.
With the plan to move 3 more in this year.
Oh, great.
Not at liberty to tell you where yet.
Okay.
But it will be coming very soon.
Wow.
But it is an industry recognized need for CDL drivers. And part of this is now the student will be able to sit. They'll have the books. They'll be able to study for the written exam. Practice time in the simulator, because that will help them decide whether the aptitude is really there. Because sometimes people want to get a job, and you think, for example, you want to be a roofer. And the first time you climb up on that roof and you're afraid of heights, that's not really what you want to do.
Exactly.
So it gives them that opportunity to try it, and they can change their mind before it's too late. But our hope is to work with DOT, Department of Transportation, and possibly become able to give the written part of the exam right before the inmate's leaving with us, thus making the handoff to the second part with the road testing much easier.
Nice.
And it's another piece that the inmate can complete with us.
So I just have a question about if a former inmate does get a CDL license and they're on parole, isn't there an issue with crossing state lines, or how has that worked out?
Many of the companies looking to hire will keep them as short-term drivers. So it's local deliveries and things like that. Because when I say CDL, people automatically think the big 18-wheeler tractor trailer.
Yes.
But you need certain CDLs for the smaller, short box delivery trucks for Home Depot, where you just deliver to somebody's house and you're back at Home Depot again. And working with parole, there are ways that the inmate can let their agent know, this is my job, this is what I'm going to be doing, and they can monitor that closely.
Nice. What a great job. Is there anything else that we might have missed that you want to talk about?
One of the things that I did not give, I gave you the numbers and our percentage for GED.
Right.
Okay. But in Commonwealth Secondary Diplomas, which are not counted in that number, we had 408 inmates earn a Commonwealth Secondary Diploma.
Wow. In what period? What time period?
In the year 2019.
Okay. Wow.
So altogether with GEDs and Commonwealth Secondary Diplomas, we have credentialed almost 1,000 inmates.
Wow.
And given them one more piece. And as far as vocational certification, we provided inmates earned well over 6,000 vocational credentials last year.
Wow. So obviously that's not 6,000 inmates. That's 6,000 certifications.
It's 6,000 certifications. And again, an inmate that's in a construction and taking NCCER may have earned carpentry level 1, plumbing level 1, and OSHA. So it would be three certifications for one inmate.
Okay.
So yes, that breakdown is a little bit different.
Okay. Wow. That's still quite an accomplishment, and it's really putting these inmates on, again, a pathway to success. So what else? Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I think we've covered all of it. I think that our staff are doing a fantastic job with helping to prepare an inmate and get them on the right path and trying to keep them on the straight and narrow and out of our institutions.
Excellent. Terry, thanks for taking time to join us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me.
And listeners, don't forget that you can always learn more about the DOC by visiting our website at www.cor.pa.gov. And that concludes this episode of Lockup Lowdown. We'll see you next time.